Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm so glad you're here with us tonight. We are going to be talking about how to stay close to Jesus in college. Maybe you are in high school and about to graduate and go away to college or commute to college. Maybe you're already in college, or maybe you're a parent who wants to help their child to stay close to Jesus after they graduate from high school. So whoever you are in the right place, and I hope and pray that this talk will be a blessing to you. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, I ask that you would bless every person listening and that you would encourage our hearts and you would help each one of us to draw closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you are in college right now, or if you're heading to college, you probably already know that college can be exciting, frightening, and filled with change. It's very exciting because here you are. You have made it. You've had the grades and the test scores, and you are on your way, and a big university or a small college or a state college has said, yes, you measure up. Come and be part of us and learn what we have to teach you. It can be exciting because suddenly you're no longer a kid, but you're an adult and you're on your own and you're signing your own papers and you're responsible for your schedule and you're responsible for all the areas of your life and you're out there on your own. And for all those same reasons, it can be frightening because what if you make a mistake? What if you blow it? What if you pick the wrong major? What if you don't find a husband or wife who will love you and want to spend the rest of their life with you? All those things can frighten us, and we can be distracted by those things. And the bottom line is that college is a real time of change. You're no longer a little child who needs to be taken care of by their parent, but you are an independent adult who is making their own decisions, and your parents are there to cheer you on and to give you counsel. But really, now things are on your shoulders. What will you do? How will you live? What direction will you go in? All of those are choices that you'll be making. So congratulations for those of you in college. And if you have decided to do an apprenticeship or to go right into a career, then I really think that this talk will be a blessing to you as well. I could do a whole talk on how to get good grades, how to study hard, and how to achieve excellence academically, but that's not what this talk is about. We're talking about our relationship with the Lord. So I am trusting as I say this that you're going to study hard, you're going to work hard, and you're going to work and do everything with all your heart as if working for the Lord. But there's something that is more important than your studies. It's more important than getting good test grades. It is staying close to the Lord and making Him your number one priority. Often we can mouth the words, Jesus is Lord. You know, Jesus is Lord of my life. He's number one. But then we live as if our grades are the most important, or our job is the most important, or the person we have a crush on is the most important. So the first thing to do is make Jesus your top priority by starting every day with Bible reading and prayer. Every day get into the Lord's Word so you can have direction and wisdom from Him to start your day, and pour your heart out to Him. Tell Him the things that you need Him for, the things that are weighing on your mind, and allow Him to come through in your life and to lead and to guide you. So start with having a quiet time by reading the Word and praying, and then make sure that whether you're at home and commuting or living in another state on campus, that you go to church every week. Talk to people and find out where the best churches, where is there a Bible-believing church where you can fellowship with people who love Jesus and you take His word seriously, and plug right in. And then I also encourage you to study the word with other believers who love the Lord. It is such a privilege and a blessing to get together in a small group and to talk to people about the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about people who will say, oh, how do you feel? Or things like that. Not like it doesn't matter how you feel, but it really matters what God has to say in His Word. So study the Bible with people who take His Word seriously and who believe in the authority of Scripture. Studying the Bible in a small group will be a blessing to you and something that you will look forward to. When I was in college, I made having a quiet time, going to church, and being involved in a Bible study on campus a high priority. I did not miss those things, and the only thing that would ever keep me from them is if I was deathly ill. And I can tell you that never happened. So every week that I was in college, I went to church, I had my quiet time, and I was involved in a small group Bible study. And those things really encouraged me in my faith. I learned and I grew while I was in college. I was able to lead other people to Christ while I was in college. And it really was a time for me of great growth and maturing in the Lord. And it can be for you too. One of the benefits of being in college is for most of us, when we're in college, we're single. And we can live in undivided devotion to the Lord and really spend a lot of time building up the kingdom of God. So now we've talked about that. You're in college. You might be living on campus somewhere in another state, or you might be driving back and forth in your hometown to go to college. No matter what you are going to face many professors who do not believe that the Bible is true. Some of them say they don't even believe in God. But it's kind of curious how much anger they have at God, who they say they don't believe in. You know, if you ever sit back and look, it's almost humorous. But I'm going to be honest with you. You are going to be facing a battle in many classrooms because you will have professors who take great delight in trying to undermine your faith. And I'm going to encourage you, don't fall for it. Realize that you are the one who knows the truth. You are the one who has genuine faith, and that the Word of God is true. So not only will professors share, quote, facts, unquote, that aren't really true at all, or a new way of looking at things that maybe you've never heard of, but they'll also subtly make you feel that if you do trust in the Bible and trust in the Scriptures, that you're kind of foolish. When I got to college, I was majoring in nursing, and my first biology class, I remember it was Bio 207, and that was my first semester. I was just bombarded with evolution the whole class, and I was a relatively new Christian, and I had never really thought about evolution. I believed the Bible was true, and so all of a sudden, there's this doubt in my mind, is the Bible true? Or is evolution true? Or do they fit together? And so I, of course, read Genesis, and I read all the different places I could find on creation, and it seemed pretty clear to me that the Bible was saying God created the earth in 6 literal days. Well, there weren't a lot of books like there are now. There's so many books you can read about creation and evolution, but there weren't a lot of things like that. But I did have a library, and in the library was books by Charles Darwin, like The Origin of Species. And so I checked out some books by evolutionists, and I read Charles Darwin, and I read why he came up with this theory of evolution and what, quote, proofs he used. And when I was finished with reading Charles Darwin and reading the Bible just made a lot more logical sense to me than Charles Darwin. And I realized that evolution really didn't have a logical, truthful leg to stand on. So with that in my mind, I was set free. I didn't have any more doubts about evolution. And when my professors would rant on and on about evolution and rail against God, I would just in my mind think, oh, those poor things. And I would pray for them that God would open their eyes and they would get set free. But no longer did they undermine my faith. And so if you're listening and you think, oh, I'm in a situation right now where my professors are saying things and it is undermining my faith, stay tuned, because when I get back, we're going to talk about how to face those doubts and how to overcome those subtle things or big things that you are facing that are undermining your faith and trust in the Word of God and in Jesus. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus as you homeschool your children. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, as well as homeschool classes like economics, finances, and business. Meredith Curtis designed this class for high school seniors and adults. It takes an intense look at macroeconomics from a biblical free market perspective and challenges students to apply biblical principles to all aspects of economics and business. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We've been talking about how going away to college is exciting and frightening and filled with change. I remember when I dropped one of my daughters off at college and there was a big parent-student meeting. The professors, or whichever professor was speaking, with all the professors cheering him on, said, basically, you parents, your children are going to come out of here changed. They're not going to have your middle-class Christian values. They're going to be set free from that. I just silently prayed, Lord, please protect my children. Do not allow them to be ensnared by the devil, and do not allow them to lose their faith in Jesus Christ and their trust in the Word of God. And I can tell you God answered my prayers, and I'm so grateful. But the truth is that we are in a spiritual battle, and the devil comes to kill and steal and lie and destroy. And many times it's not that your professors are evil. It's that they have been brainwashed by Satan himself and his demons, who want to undermine the glory of God and who want to steal the faith away of the believers in Jesus. So what can you do? All of my children, when they're teenagers, go through doubts, and college is just an especially hard time because you're so busy studying and maybe holding down a part-time job, and all of a sudden you're faced with this attack on your faith. So if you haven't already, I'm just going to share some resources with you that I think will really benefit you. One of them is a book called Understanding the Times. I found this book when my daughter, Katie Beth, was a senior in high school, and she read the book, and it really helped prepare her for college life. Understanding the Times looks at different worldviews. A worldview is the way that you view the world around you. It starts with, what do you assume is true? Everybody assumes something is true. As Christians, we assume that God is there, that He loves us, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, and that the Bible is absolutely trustworthy. A humanist assumes that there is no God, that only what you see and touch and hear is true, and that men are basically good. Now, I don't know if you've been a parent, you know that's not true, but you know, whatever. The thing is, there's many worldviews, and many people kind of have a combination of worldviews, but there are six basic worldviews. There's Christianity, there is Islam, there's New Age, there is humanism, communism, and postmodernism. And those are the worldviews that predominate on college campus, not the Christian and Islam worldviews so much, but the other ones. And this book, Understanding the Times, looks at every discipline, psychology, sociology, philosophy, religion, politics, law, government, history, and it looks at what each of the worldviews believes, what presuppositions they have, what things they just cling to as absolute fact. And it really helps because not only do they explain what these people believe in that worldview, but they give buzzwords and keywords. So my children have all read this book when they're a senior in high school, and they are able to sit in a college classroom and go, aha, he's saying this and this and this, and he believes this and this. He's got a humanist worldview. Or this professor over here, she has a postmodern worldview. And so it's really helped them to understand where their professor was coming from, because along with certain ideas, presuppositions, come a lot of other things. And if you realize, okay, this is their perspective, but the Bible says this, and of course, my favorite section of the book is where it tells the Christian perspective on everything, which just makes so much sense because our God is a God of order. He's the one who created logic. He created our minds to understand the world around us. So this is a book I highly recommend, and it's a hefty book, so if you're in college, you may have to wait till your break to read it. Another quick read is called More Than a Carpenter. It's by Josh McDowell. And it goes into Jesus, who is more than a carpenter. And it looks at different things like Jesus either had to be a liar, a lunatic, or he is the Lord. And so things like that, that's just basically when it boils down to what Jesus said and what he did, there's only three options. And it talks about the authority of Scripture and just some other things. But it's a very, like I said, it's a very quick read. And so More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell, it helps a lot with questions that you might have or things you might be being challenged with. Can we trust the Word of God? And things like that. Josh McDowell also has some very hefty books, Evidence That Demands a Verdict 1 and Evidence That Demands a Verdict 2, or it might be called More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Those are bigger books, and they're all on questions that people have about the Lord, about the Word of God, about other religions. And those are great reference books because something might come up at class and you can open that book and you can look to that page. So if you're about to graduate, that would be a great present to ask for, Evidence That Demands a Verdict 1 and Evidence That Demands a Verdict 2. There's so many things that you wonder about. As a Christian, we believe that the Bible is true. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that there is a heaven and it's a real place, that there is a hell and it's eternal and it's terrible. We believe that there are moral absolutes. That means that good is good and evil is evil. We believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again, triumphing over hell and death. We believe that because Jesus rose from the dead, that we will be able to rise from the dead too, if we have trusted in him. We believe that Jesus built his church and that there's a true church throughout the earth of every believer that belongs to him. We believe that you must be born again to enter this kingdom, this church. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he enables us to understand the Word and to know God and to grow in him. And we believe that one day Jesus will return. All of these things are basic absolutes that the Christian believes in. But did you ever wonder, well, you know, why should I believe those things? How can I know that these things are true? And all of those things are under attack. You know, you can be on a college campus and you can talk about God, 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 but say Jesus and everyone is offended. Well, Jesus said that he is the rock upon which men stumble. But he's also the chief cornerstone for those who believe. So Dr. James Kennedy has a book called Why I Believe, and it was written quite a while ago because I actually read it when I was in college, which tells you how old it is. But it's a great book, and it covers so many of those things. Why I believe in the Bible, why I believe in Christianity, why I believe in moral absolutes, why I believe that Jesus is God. And all of those things are really important when your faith is under attack. And so if you are being attacked in your faith during college, I'm going to really encourage you, get those people that you know love Jesus to be praying for you, that God will strengthen your faith and that you will not shrink back. And pretty soon, as the Lord reveals truth to you, you'll be one of those people raising their hands and saying, hold on, what about looking at it from this perspective and then being able to share truth in your classroom? I believe God can do that in you and God can really help you. Another thing that happens when we are in college that can undermine our faith is that we can be tempted to live in a world of excess and a world of sin, or be drawn into those things instead of living a life of purity and a life of discipline. So if you're listening and you say, yeah, that's the truth, every Thursday afternoon, my friends start partying and they party through the weekend. Oh, I know. That's how it was when I was in college. I remember stepping over people in the bathroom on a Sunday morning getting ready for church, and they were still puking from partying the night before. So yeah, I get that. But I never was ever tempted to live like that because my focus was on the Lord. I had friends who loved the Lord, and I did not want to be like those people that I saw partying. I didn't need to escape from my life because I liked my life because it was filled with the Lord and it was filled with His Word. And I liked being disciplined. I got up every morning. I ran 2 miles. I studied with my friends. I went to the library. I studied in my room. We went to football games. We had parties. We did all kinds of things that were pure and clean. And they weren't things that would dishonor Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you're being tempted to party, if you're being tempted to be lazy, to play video games all day, to not get your schoolwork done, then I think you might have the wrong crowd of friends. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And I'm going to encourage you, get new friends. You don't need those people. You're just going to become more and more foolish. And ask the Lord to bring people into your life who are good people and who want to live a good life. If those people who are partying claim to be Christians, then you go to them and say, you know what? You need to get right with God. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, because I can't judge your heart, but that's not how Christians live, and you need to get right with God. Friend, if you're listening to this, there is something in you that wants to serve Jesus and stay close to Him in college. God's plan and purpose for you is not only that you would stay close to Him so that you can be blessed, but that you would stay close to Him so that you can impact other people. God wants you to share your faith. There are so many people who make a decision for Christ when they are in college and serve Him all the days of their life. I led my best friend Susie Garska, who is now Susie Cochran, to the Lord in our freshman year, and we would study the Bible together, and I would talk to her about the Scripture and the Lord. She ended up coming to Christ, and the next year, she led 3 people in her dorm to the Lord. All of them I am still friends with on Facebook today. They gave their hearts to Christ in college, and they're still walking with Him today. God wants to use you to accomplish something that's bigger than yourself, bigger than your grades, bigger than your own life. He wants you to be a part of extending His kingdom to the ends of the earth. And God is wanting to make you bold as a lion so that you can talk about Him and you can share your faith and other people can say, I want what that guy has. I want what that gal has. And so I just encourage you, press into God, love Him. And one last thing is that if you want to be motivated to serve the Lord more and make your life count, then I am going to encourage you to read biographies of famous Christians throughout time that have made a difference for the Lord. People like William Wilberforce, people like Brother Andrew, Elizabeth Elliot, Amy Carmichael. These people who went on the mission field, William Carey, David Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, there are so many great men and women who have gone before us, and they have made a difference, and they have lived for the glory of God. And right now, they're in the presence of our precious Jesus, and they're enjoying His favor. We want our lives to count for eternity. And as we put the kingdom of God first, the Bible says all these things will be added unto us. As we put the kingdom of God first, grades, finances for school, needed money through jobs, all of these things, a mate for life, all of these things will be added unto us. But it starts with putting the kingdom of God first. So you know what? Stand up tall and lift your head up and look at Jesus and make a choice. You are going to stay close to Him all through college. God bless you and have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.